Afternoon, everyone. Sorry for cutting you short. I actually love Flex Dashboard. I've been messing around with it for a while. It's great. Afternoon, everyone. So I'll try to get through some of the more boring stuff first and get into the interesting, shiny applications that we've been building at McKinsey and sort of the new way we've been approaching it for some time now. I actually presented a similar topic a couple of years ago at USAR, and things have really dramatically changed within Shiny, so I think there's a lot more that we can do with it, and would love to talk to you guys about that. So really quickly, an introduction to McKinsey and sort of how we work with clients. I think what we care about a lot is boxes 4 and 5 on this slide. So typically what we find is that a lot of organizations are starting to mess around and learn about analytics, but they fail pretty miserably at doing things about the analytics that they have, whether that's because they're not integrating it into their everyday processes or because they're not getting frontline staff to adopt all these new algorithms that are becoming more and more common in a lot of organizations. We see that as sort of the big task as companies and organizations start using analytics more and more. And Shiny is one of the ways in which we're able to increase adoption, and we'll talk to you a little bit more about that. So background about analytics, we're quite large at McKinsey, about 300 people right now who really focus on analytics of different varieties. In fact, there's somebody who presented from McKinsey today who I'd never met, and I didn't know that he was actually presenting here. So we've gotten quite big, and I don't really even know everyone who's doing work. So we focus on, classic statistics, machine learning, deep learning, the full gamut for a variety of different types of clients. I personally work with defense and security clients who focus on things like public safety and, variety of topics there. We also have a huge design team. So on top of having really great statisticians and machine learning experts, we also have people who focus on design, on website development, on how do you create applications that enable different types of behavior within organizations. And so, that team, recently we started working with quite a lot, mostly because Shiny has changed pretty significantly to allow a lot of customization. So we'll get into that in a second. So in typical McKinsey fashion, we like to talk about process a lot. So the process on the top represents a lot of our processes to date for how we build Shiny applications, right? So we take Shiny dashboard or one of the standard dashboards, and then we say, okay, let's try to make this as functional as possible. Let's try to get an application that does what we need for our users with R on the back end. And that usually involves a lot of hacking CSS to get it to do what we want, or some sort of custom JavaScript to, again, get it to do something fancy or something that we need in order for the users to interact with the application. Followed by, below that is design, which could be a very different part of the organization within McKinsey. They focus very much on getting that design right, getting the user experience right. So they, by the end of their sort of process, they won't have an actual working application. They'll have some really pretty vaporware that tells us this great story about this application that you could build a year from now that could have everything you want under the sun and that can get all your users really happy. So for a long time, we sort of worked around them because I'm not waiting a year to get my applications in front of these end users. I need them to have impact really fast. So now what we're doing is quite different. So we actually work with them side by side throughout the process. And so we still do all the advanced analytics modeling. We adjust quite a bit. We still take advantage of the things that Shiny is great at, like HTML widgets and all of the fancy visualizations that we want to be able to make and the interactivity that's important. And we let the designers think about user experience throughout the process. And so by the end of this, we have both a functional prototype, which is what we usually think of as Shiny applications, and a design-oriented prototype, and something that users are really excited about by the time we're through. So this is what I would call an engineer-driven application. So at least in our organization, we have people who know quite a lot about machine learning, but not a lot about building applications. So this has every widget and knob you could ever want, and ever, so that you can answer any question you ever wanted about something. And none of our clients have ever been able to use this, even though we use it internally, right? So very different end product than what we normally do. Whereas, you know, when we talk to the design teams, they spend a lot of time thinking about personas and journey mapping and all this stuff. And I don't know if you guys watch Silicon Valley, but there's a whole section about, there's a whole piece about black boxes. And sometimes it can feel like, I just want a black box, and designers are telling you all these crazy things that they could do on top of it. So, you know, in order to bring this to life, I would love to talk about a specific use case. So we were working with a public safety client, and they had very serious but relatively rare events that we were trying to deal with. And they were all driven by what we would call group level activity. And we had a lot of information about how these groups interact with each other, but we didn't really understand how that leads to this rare event that we were trying to prevent. We also found that not only was the analytics part of the problem, but so was the prioritization processes within the organization. So if you have an investigator who's trying to deal with something, and we're working with this public safety client, they might go out and prioritize whichever problem they think is most important that day, rather than have some sort of system that tells them, here's what I should be focusing on, here's what I should be thinking about on a day-to-day basis. So, you know, we actually ended up using quite a few advanced analytics techniques throughout, so I'll cover those. On the top, we used quite a lot of network analytics, which is, you know, pretty standard in public safety. We used the iGraph package within R to detect communities, to understand these groups in a way that the client had never been able to do before. We used random forests in the Carrot package to try to predict which people belong to the groups that we're concerned about. And we used what's called the Hawks model to try to actually predict the clusters of events that we were trying to prevent. The Hawks models have been used in very similar applications for everything from IED detection to in Iraq to gang violence prevention in LA. So we used this in the back end, and we wanted to make sure that our client would act on those insights. And so unfortunately, I can't show you the actual application, but I can show you these visuals, which give you a hint of how the application worked. So every day, these officers were intended to go to this screen and figure out what my priority is for this day. So in the top left, you know, we have those groups, and we use the Hawks model to tell them which groups are most likely to be involved in these rare events that we were trying to prohibit. On the top middle screen, we were able to use influencer scores, which is essentially the eigenvector centrality within their networks, to tell us who the most important people were. And then, you know, on the bottom, we were actually able to use our supervised learning model to tell them, these are the most important people for you to look at and investigate today, and have them go through this whole process. So, you know, for us, this was really powerful. What we actually did is we outsourced this whole design to the design team that we have, right? This is all built in Shiny, but they actually used mostly HTML to build this out, HTML and JavaScript. And we would use things like passing information back and forth through JSON to give them what they would need in order to make those Sparklines charts and to allow them to do a lot of this. And I think we also built network charts. And this is where we actually went back and we said, we'll build this ourselves. We didn't depend on the design people. We said, Shiny and HTML widgets has amazing interactivity with these charts, right? So we used one of the, I think it's VisJS or one of the network visualization packages. We actually built, you know, this type of diagram that allowed us to build a network analytics chart, which if you built it in traditional JS and D3 would actually be extremely challenging, but because we were able to do it in Shiny, it was a really simple, you know, 1 week or less process. This, you know, particular application is being used by our clients today, and the response has been just overwhelming, right? So I, before this, was building and hacking, frankly, lots of Shiny applications for lots of different clients. And they all love them, but the reaction that you get, the engagement that you get by using this user design focus when you build your Shiny applications, and maybe even bringing a web developer if needed, we found has been tremendous. So you know, that's what I'm excited about. I think HTML widgets allowed us to do this. And I think HTML templates as well, which was a more recent addition to Shiny, has also allowed us to interact with designers who normally are very afraid to use R in sort of a way that we just really couldn't imagine before. So that's all I got. I'd love to answer any questions. I'd rather have this be a Q&A than keep talking about, you know, what we did.
Yeah, you got plenty of time.
Okay. Anyone have any questions? Yeah, so the question was, how do we structure these teams of mixed analytics people and design people? It tends to be quite phased. So you might have a designer who focuses on things like wireframes or the actual structure of the application for, like, let's say a week. Then, you know, the next week at the same time, the analytics people would be working alongside the front-end developer to build a lot of the application. With you know, a follow-on work of just the analytics people who can build the rest of everything they need in Shiny without any real help from the front-end developers at all. I think the question was, what do we do when the client doesn't have the data that we need? So, I mean, they actually didn't have all of the data we needed in this case. So, for example, we care a lot about what group people belong to in order to do the analysis, but maybe 25% of the data was labeled. And so we did, you know, in this case, we focused on those 25%. We built our predictive models off of that, and then now we're doing semi-supervised learning to help with the labeling for everyone else, right? There's sometimes when they don't have the data that you need at all, and we have to come up with creative ways to find it. So, you know, in the case of networks, we were using data that they had sort of already been using in their day-to-day reporting that they'd never thought of to use. It was about co-membership in events. So, you know, when two different people end up going to the same event together, we were able to use that to build a lot of our networks, right? And I think in the public sector setting especially, clients have a lot of this data, they just don't know that they do. All right.
Okay. So yeah, before we go, maybe I have one more question. So were there any challenges about, like, you said that you allow labeling, mm-hmm. and so that's one way that the machine learning algorithms can adapt to the users of the system?
Yeah.
So were there any challenges about how to define the labeling scheme, or like how to store those data?
Yeah, I would say the challenge there was, I think right now we're still trying to collect a lot of that. We would like to do like real reinforcement learning. So we give them a label that we think belongs to the person, and they go out and investigate. And if that person actually belongs to the group that we think, then we'd actually get to do it. But it's way too early days for us to say whether that'll be successful or not. But part of the nice thing about the application is we're now collecting that data. And, you know, they weren't collecting how accurate they were in these investigations before, and when they were wrong, there was no real track record that they'd ever gotten it wrong before. So that's the big difference, I think, for us.
Right. Okay, well, actually, I think we still have time for one more question if anybody has another question. Or, yeah, okay, so let's thank the speaker again. And